Welcome, everyone, to an exciting episode of Nonproductive. This week, we are going to discuss something that is ripping the internet apart. A political debate that is tearing asunder the very fabrics of our society. And that is unpopular geek opinions. That's right. We at Nonpro have unpopular geek opinions, and we are going to expose them to you. It's probably not the best way to phrase that.
Oh,
right?
God.
No, that's
probably
not
good. Are we doing phrasing?
I guess. Archer isn't a good show. That is an example of an unpopular geek opinion that nobody has. I'm Frank. I am joined in studio by, let's do a round table.
James.
Pope.
Big Papa Pete.
Nate.
Al.
Cappy.
And Matt. Say Matt.
Matt. Well, I'm technically not in studio, so that's why I didn't say anything.
Oh, there you go. And we have for you a list, how do I put this? What did Nixon call his list of people? Like a kill list?
McCarthy's list?
No. Nixon had a very specific Nixon hate list. List.
Oh my.
Yeah, I think it was the poop list.
A veritable Nixon list of opinions that geeks can possibly have that are probably wrong, but that we will fight to the death. Shall I explain this concept to you listeners and you idiots in the radio station with me?
Yes.
Yeah,
no.
Sure. Let me do that.
Sure.
Here's an unpopular opinion. Hey, do you all know the show Firefly? A guy called Joss Whedon made it. You guys familiar with Firefly?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
That's the Dollhouse gentleman, right?
Yes. The one infamous from Dollhouse.
Yes, yes. and nothing else.
Yes. For making Alien 4. Joss Whedon, who...
Joss.
I'm not going to get it right. It doesn't matter.
The pronunciation of that name is...
Is it a popular opinion? No. Firefly is one of... in the oeuvre... That's not the right word for it either.
No. Yeah,
That one. Of the work of Joss Whedon, Firefly is like one of the iconic things he's worked on. There's Buffy and Angel. There is the Avengers movies. He's probably best known in many geek circles for Firefly, the show that everybody desperately wanted to see get renewed. My unpopular geek opinion is that Firefly should in no way, shape, or form be renewed, rebooted, restarted, launched into a movie franchise. I don't even really think it should get its own comic book universe. Firefly, it was great. It's had its day. That's my unpopular geek opinion. So, does anyone here have anything to say about that to me? Oh, James, you're raising your hand very politely while gritting your teeth.
So, other than maybe the comic book universe, because I just don't care enough,
wow.
I would agree, honestly. I feel like after so much distance has come from a franchise or from a property, it just... A return is generally not good. I mean, think about all these belated sequels, these things. Too much time has passed. Maybe this conversation would have been different, 6 months post-Serenity. But now, I like what all those other actors and Joss and everybody's doing, you know?
But I feel like it's such a big verse. There's so much they could do. Yes, he tried to cram in a lot of his extra work into Serenity. But, I mean, we still have Nathan Fillion, who would definitely pick up the mantle once more. I think we could definitely do with some more Firefly.
I'll argue that if you're talking about telling a different story in the same universe, then it's not Firefly anymore. We're telling a different story that just so happens to take place in a universe Firefly shared, which would still be with Frank's opinion that, it wouldn't be a continuation of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. So is DS9 not Star Trek anymore? Or?
I'm glad we brought this up. You guys have some interesting, valid, and wrong opinions. These are not correct. So, first of all, Nathan Fillion, I don't think he would pick up the role of Mal again. I mean, I'm sure he tweets about it in a nice way every once in a while, but I think he's desperate to move on to do anything else with his career. It has been over a decade. And just to
he's in Halo.
Thanks. What was that about?
He basically plays the same character in Halo.
No, he plays a different character in Halo. Your fanboy ass can't separate Nathan Fillion from Mal. No. That's not right. So as far as the entire universe of Firefly, not interested. It worked for Star Trek. It also worked decades later for Star Trek. Next Generation, there was an animated series nobody cares about.
Ah!
Popular geek opinions. And then years and years later, Next Generation, it was original series, the crappy animated series that literally no one cares about. And then Next Generation, decades later, maybe in decades, I'd be willing to revisit the verse. But really, at this point, you're just getting aged actors in there. I'm not even trying to insult the actors. The show was great. Any attempt to revisit that show is just going to be a pale comparison. That is my geek opinion. It's over. Move on. Stop sharing these stupid memes. We have so many other franchises we can milk to death. Let's not worry about this one.
Browncoats forever.
Did you say redcoats forever?
Browncoats.
Oh, I thought you were like a Johnny Tremaine fan.
I am.
No, all right.
I was actually looking up Johnny Tremaine earlier today. That's weird.
I feel like this is begging for a Big Papa Pete segue, but we're not going to do it. No. We can't do that.
We have vowed to stay on track this episode.
So that's my unpopular geek opinion. James, you were on my side, I would say, parroting my opinion. Do you have anything to say about a popular geek opinion?
I do. Okay, so, as we mentioned earlier, that there are a lot of Star Trek shows in the Star Trek franchise that became very popular later on.
Right.
One of those shows that is generally not considered popular is a show that I actually really like, which is Enterprise, which is the third in the main series, quote unquote, of Star Trek that is a prequel.
Trekkies out there will know the phrase "the main series."
That is a prequel.
No, they don't.
But it's the Next Gen, the original, and Enterprise are the ships that follow the Enterprise crew.
Uh-huh. So, the Enterprise arc is what us Trekkies call it.
Is it?
Which Enterprise?
Yeah. What letter? You think you're so cool.
Screw your letters. Which universe?
Don't judge my cretin. Not the Kelvin universe. The original universe.
Oh,
See, I knew that.
All right. Good. He knew the name, too. All right.
So, I think Enterprise is actually really a decent show. Right? I like it quite a bit. I think it does a lot of things that really are fun for Star Trek, and it gets to branch out in a way that Star Trek generally didn't get to do. With a show like the original series or, Next Generation, but still being almost more Star Trek-y than those in it itself. It draws a lot of inspiration from Gene Roddenberry's original pilot, like having T'Pol as the first officer, a woman and an alien, and being able to do a lot of things that they just, couldn't do when they started with the original series. That's not to say it doesn't have its low points. Season 3 is a bit of a slog to get through. But, I think 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
Okay, I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
What do you think about the non-orchestral score to Enterprise? Otherwise known as the power ballad theme song for Star Trek Enterprise?
Not the score, the theme.
The theme itself, yes.
Okay, so look, we're in the age of Netflix. That automatically skips, man. Just auto skip.
So that's your
just auto skip. Your defense.
It's been a long road. Maybe I just don't like sci-fi shows that have like power ballads in their theme songs, like the John Bon Jovi opening to Firefly. Right? That's Bon Jovi light. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, how were right. you gonna say?
I feel like
that?
James can make a case for like maybe the last season of the show where it finally found its footing before it was canceled. But as far as like he brought up T'Pol as like oh man, this is progressive. They got this female first officer. It's like, yeah, but you forget they found any excuse they could for her to take her shirt off in that show.
They didn't. There is one episode. Her and another character that who literally had sexual tension, and there was a thing about it.
No, it wasn't.
There was only one excuse to have her take her
exactly.
shirt off.
Exactly. Thank you.
The whole point. That was every excuse.
But it was. But every time, because they came up with the weird gel thing where they had to like.
That is literally the one episode.
Right. No, they kept doing. That's not one episode. They do that all the time.
A lot.
Every time they will sit daisy chain each other and lotion each other up, and like when they come back into
daisy
the ship.
Chain, this is, for those of you wondering on AM radio. is when a group of people sit around and they weave daisies into a chain.
But I'm serious. That's the thing. It was just one episode. This was a consistent thing they did.
But the show had a lot of really interesting characters and played with a lot of different dynamics that just, I don't know, that just to me didn't stick out in other series.
James. You are correct. I love Enterprise. I really, really do enjoy Enterprise. It's, I don't know if it's my favorite Star Trek show.
Yeah, I wouldn't go
show,
that far.
But it is, but really, I think it's underrated. Solid. Criminally underrated.
Criminally underrated.
Yeah,
I agree.
So. I do like it. I like the way it's a prequel, and I like what they establish in the universe. I do like it.
Enterprise was a good show. It was not a good Star Trek show. I think Firefly was a better Star Trek show.
First of all,
I don't know if I agree with that.
No, not at all. Firefly was the anti-Star Trek.
Yeah.
Well, but it was actually, it was more grounded in Star Trek than you think, because it was basically supposed to be the flip side of the Star Trek universe. It was, you know, the Federation is great for everybody who signs on the dotted line with the Federation.
And Mal's
but
and
what
Maquis.
About the other? What about everybody else? Yeah, Mal's and Maquis.
I'd agree with that.
But yeah, I think Firefly did a better job of capturing that Star Trek, but not Star Trek.
I don't know.
Than Enterprise did.
I feel like you're so opposite on that, in that this is like the anti-Star Trek, that at that point you're not even Star Trek anymore, but whatever.
Yep.
I get it. I appreciate your opinion of Star Trek Enterprise, James, as being a good Star Trek show, but I don't know. I guess there's not going to be a sequel to the show anytime soon.
Nope.
No.
No. All right.
That leap just didn't work.
Scott Bakula joke.
Oh, the Scott Bakula joke.
There we go. That's right. Great that happened. Hey, Pope, save us from that. Bring up your unpopular geek opinion.
I think the Nintendo 64 is better than the PlayStation 1.
Oh.
Which...
All right.
I'll argue that's just truth.
Well, why? Why do you think the Nintendo 64 is better than the PlayStation 1?
I feel like it was more of a communal system, whereas the PlayStation 1 was kind of locked in and kind of created the stereotypical shut-in video game nerd.
Yeah, I mean, you could at most play two-player on that, right?
And, you know, the N64 was the first system to have, like, more than two ports put into it. Mm-hmm. You know, it created a lot of, popularized a lot of, like, good genres for everybody getting together and playing video games, which systems have grown into more.
My argument would be, like, that's just truth. I mean, it didn't sell as well, but there are still plenty of things that we regard now that, you know, didn't sell well, but were, like, Firefly, we were just talking about, like, you know.
Let's not talk about Firefly anymore.
I mean, at the same time, we're nerds, so we exist of an opinion within that genre is what I'm saying.
You think outsiders don't like it as much, might not realize that N64 would be better than PlayStation. I guess your average mom and pop, but I'm with Al on this. I actually think that is the default opinion. I love N64 because of all the reasons you said. Party games, GoldenEye, being able to strangle people with a long cord, that weird joystick in the middle of the pad that burns a hole in your wrist. Yeah, or your palm.
Yeah.
I just want to say the reasons that the N64 didn't sell as well as the PS1 was certainly not the quality of the system itself, but the fact that they were still manufacturing cartridges while PS1 had discs, which made them cheaper to produce for game makers. They had sublicenses more. They just had a lot more going for them that made it the more affordable, cost-effective thing for parents to buy, which is why the N64 didn't do as well, but it was still a better system.
And at the same time, PS1 is actually able to put actual media clips in their games. The actual video in your of cuts from the James Bond movies in the games about James Bond is just better.
So that's a four argument?
It's four. Yeah.
Yeah. 464?
No.
For the PlayStation.
For PlayStation. No.
But I feel like, I don't know, when I was growing up, everybody had the Nintendo 64. I didn't know anybody with the PlayStation until the PS2 came out.
I feel like that's exact opposite with where I grew up, where I was the guy with the N64 amongst a lot of friends, where everybody was always coming over my house to play Smash Brothers or Mario Party.
And your argument about the social aspect is just factually incorrect, because I think you're forgetting the PlayStation multi-tap.
Oh my God.
Which
should allow for four-player gaming.
Would they sell 30 of those?
I had one.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm actually thinking that this might actually not be an unpopular geek opinion. This might be our first popular geek opinion. What do you guys think? Majority?
Yeah, probably.
Why it's really unpopular, though, in that PlayStation 1 sold three times as many systems as the 64, which wasn't that much of a price difference, honestly. And truthfully, as much as either system really had, you know, definitive games, you know, like the N64 had Super Mario 64, which kind of, like, revolutionized 3D gaming. Ocarina of Time, which is still regarded as one of the best games of all time. Super Smash Brothers, which kind of, you know, created the party fighting game. Mario Party, which, you know, kind of popularized the party game. The PlayStation had, like, 10 times as many games that really, like, revolutionized every genre.
Mm.
Like, Final Fantasy VII kind of created the modern RPG.
But where did Madden play best? Matt?
I was going to say, I'm going to be completely opposite of you guys, and I'm going to just disagree with this whole entire opinion. I'm going to, like, turn this away from a unanimous popular thing. I had a Nintendo 64 when I was back during that time. I honestly wish I had a PlayStation.
Heathen.
How dare you?
I guess, like, yeah, you have Mario, and I guess you have Smash. But really, I guess you have GoldenEye too. But you could only do so much with that. As I was mentioned before, it was kind of, they were still using cartridges, so it was very limited on what you can do with them. It was still the same old Nintendo story, is that they heavily relied on their popular IPs that have been come and gone ad nauseum. While with PlayStation, you had, like as I mentioned, like Final Fantasy VII revolutionizing RPGs. You had Metal Gear Solid. You had a whole bunch of different games that were, honestly, to me, were completely different than the same old with Nintendo 64. And honestly, there was never a good fighting game in Nintendo 64. I could not think of one good fighting game. Like, what, Fighter's History? That was crap.
How about Madden?
I'd rather play, like, Killer Instinct. Street Fighter. Let's see, I guess it was Alpha back then. The Street Fighter Alpha series. All these great fighting games. But it was just, I got bored with Nintendo 64 when I had it.
I guess.
And again, that's honestly how I started getting into PC gaming, I think. I just was tired of the 64.
Every conversation that ends with the PC Master Race is one that has gone on 5 minutes too long. So I will say that if Matt is the everyman, then yes, in fact, Pope's hatred of Matt makes his opinion unpopular. So we will go. We will give it to Pope. All right. Big Papa Pete. In a world where Big Papa Pete has an opinion, what is it?
DC's New 52 event reboot was a good idea, necessary.
You go straight to hell. You are a lying bastard. I have audio tape of you saying the contrary for years on this network. You are an un-American bourgeoisie. I don't even know words I'm using at you. Proletariat.
But you know what? There's a considerable argument to be made for that.
All right.
The DC universe was ponderous, bulky.
Backhanded! Yes, keep going.
Ponderous, bulky. They just keep rehashing the same ideas. It was impossible for anyone to get into it and figure out what the heck was going on. You needed a reboot to freshen up the characters, make them accessible for a modern audience.
Perhaps you did, but did New 52 do any of that? You still can't follow New 52. It's still rehashing a bunch of the same ideas.
No, it rebooted everything.
Name one.
Aquaman.
Yes, Aquaman totally changed a lot. Now he's not married.
Yeah.
So original.
Does he still talk to fish?
Now, in defense of Pete's horrible, evil, no good opinion, he just said it was a good idea. Huh? He didn't say it was successful.
I didn't say it was executed well.
He said it was a good idea.
You know, that's fair. Yeah. Rebooting a really bad, horrible, messed up franchise like DC was a good idea. They just did it the worst possible way you could.
I was going to say, I certainly only started reading and then abandoned reading New 52 because of, you know, the reboot. I was like, oh, cool, a way to get into this without having to know all this years of backstory and just read specific arcs that are good. But as Nate said, I kind of just gave up.
You found that they were not good?
I dislike the fact that I'm agreeing with this, how do I put this, noxious opinion that the New 52 was a good idea without actually saying, yes, I do agree with that. Because it was, on paper, a good idea. I just, it didn't work on me. And I think I went in there with a pretty open mind. I think I went in there thinking, yeah, this is my chance to get back onto the DC Comics.
You had a pretty open mind.
Yeah. All right. This is terrifying. This is a horrible realization I've come across. Thank you, Big Papa Pete, for destroying my mind. There has to be... What was one good thing that came out of New 52 that I could actually pull out? Oh, I feel like there was one thing. Yes.
The Huntress and Power Girl comic book. That was great.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was a fantastic comic book that came out of New 52.
All right, well, I didn't read it, so I can't say he's wrong. Damn it.
They did have a really fun dichotomy with Dick Grayson being Batman and Damian Wayne being Robin, which
that was
fun.
Cool. I did
definitely
like that.
Flipped that dynamic upside down, which was fun, but then ended badly.
Yeah.
New 52.
Yeah.
No. There was a part before 52, but then they carried it into New 52.
Yeah, but that's almost like... It was actually one of our arguments.
Alive by the time they...
Yeah, one of our arguments in New 52 was that one of the biggest stories in it was not in this universe that had been rebooted.
Yeah.
Where it was in New 52.
I think it was one of those... I think you're right. I think it got carried into it, but was not actually labeled.
I read it at... It came out after New 52 started. Maybe it was just a different... Huh. I take back everything I say because I don't know what I'm talking about, maybe.
That's also good. But and also a wonderful segue for you to take the floor.
Okay,
one unpopular geek opinion you have?
What I do know what I'm talking about is I love Transformers. I think everybody knows that I love Transformers.
That is a popular opinion.
Yes.
All right.
I know, it's shocking. A very popular opinion. Transformers is good. But you know what part of Transformers is not good? The Dinobots. They suck. I'm sorry. They're the worst.
Wow.
I'm not sorry. I take that back.
Your mic just dropped and you are gone. Yeah. What was that? What were you? What? James?
So I think I might defend Nate here. I might be agreeing with
her. Before you defend her, we keep doing this. Why do you think that stupid thing you think?
Let me expand on that. The Dinobots were originally conceived to be the most badass possible things they could. They are giant robotic dinosaurs that kill things.
Rawr.
That sounds really cool. Execution in everything they've ever been in has essentially been for comic relief. They're not cool. They're not funny. They're just kind of insulting. They're really dumb. They're not funny. How many times can I say they're not funny?
You said it a couple times.
And they're just not cool. They're this wild, super masculine beat-em-up that's not even a masculine beat-em-up.
I would like to state that in this you say insulting as if your best friends were dinosaurs or robots, and I think you are a suspect.
It is
offensive dinosaurs.
It is insulting to me, who likes dinosaurs and was excited to see, oh my god, robot dinosaurs. How much cooler can you get?
I mean, robot dinosaurs is a fantastic combination of
things. Yeah, I think we all agree that it's the best idea ever, and that Nate never said anything.
I think Nate's right. They are kind of dumb and not funny.
Why?
Why are they dumb and not funny? Because they're just...
Don't twist my why. I'm like, why are you here? All right. Yes.
No. I think I understand. I think what we're doing is we're talking about the Dinobots from the third or fourth movie.
No.
Oh yes.
No.
The Michael Bay Dinobots were terrible. Okay, moving on.
They were. G1 was bad. TFA was bad. Where else did we have dinosaurs? They were all bad, except for Dinobot and Beast Wars, who was cool.
All right.
The only
Megatron
one.
was a T-Rex on that one.
He was okay, but he wasn't a Dinobot.
Oh, and whatchamacallit? All the Dinobots from Generation 1.
All bad.
We're awesome.
Bad.
We're great.
All bad.
So, I mean, just the concept of the robots turning into animals and just... I never quite grasped that.
It had plot points, but they're not Dinobots, though. They don't count.
But they're animals.
Yeah, but they're a different thing.
Yeah, he's even talking about in Generation 1 that it was confusing why they would... You know, be robots in disguise as dinosaurs.
Well, realistically,
realistically,
as a they dinosaur. Weren't supposed to be in disguise. Yes. They were just supposed to be monsters that killed stuff.
Then why did they need to transform? They were monsters that killed things.
The whole plot of the Dinobots originally in G1 is that they went to a museum, they saw dinosaurs, and they were like, "Those things look like the next bomb we can make to win the war with the Decepticons." So they made a bunch of dinosaurs.
Everyone,
and then
stop
they killed
and
them.
Listen carefully to the Nate's voice. And what character is she playing?
I don't know.
It's a 1930s huckster who was apparently an Autobot.
and my wanted God. To be a
Look,
dinosaur.
Look, man, G1 had some accents, okay?
It's true. I'm actually...
Don't come for me on this one.
I'm not unconvinced that there wasn't actually a 1930s swirly mustache.
I really need... Can we soundbite that?
There was a GoBot like that.
No. All the... Generation 1 characters were played completely straight. You can't...
Oh, absolutely.
And we here at Nonproductive have never done a sketch implying otherwise.
My favorite character is the giant purple griffin.
Here's my argument for Dinobots. I can't believe I even have to do this. They were giant robot dinosaurs that were cool. Grimlock was awesome.
But they weren't.
And now, let me say it, and then you could tell me I'm wrong. Because if I don't cut your mic. But, like, it's... They were giant. They were robots. They were dinosaurs. The toy was really cool. Grimlock was fun. That was kid comic relief. Goofiness is kid comic relief. And there were other forgettable names of dinosaurs. I think one was called Slag. That's good enough. I remember two. I'm fine with that.
He eventually became Sludge because Slag means something
else.
No.
Sludge is a different one. He's Slug now. Sludge and Slug are two different characters.
See?
Well, there was Slorb, too.
The point is, it's educational.
I'm just saying, me, Grimlock, isn't badass or cool. It's just kind of insulting awesome. To the intelligence of what you think is cool.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that happened, and we can't cut it out of the podcast because technology for doing that doesn't exist yet. Al, do you have something equally stupid to share with this group?
Actually, yeah. I have a probably very unpopular geek opinion, which is that Pixar films are extremely overrated.
Get the hell out of this building!
Oh, we may have to ask you to leave.
I'm gonna be serious.
I'm gonna be serious right now. Like, I can go. I have a list of the films here, and I want everyone to pay attention to all the films I'm going over here. Yes. There's Toy Story, which is a great film.
Yes.
Let
him make his arguments.
Great film.
Don't forget about that.
Bugs Life, not a bad film.
I like that.
It's not a bad film. Right. There's Toy Story 2. Good film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have Monsters Incorporated. Not a bad film.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Finding Nemo. A really good movie. A lot of people like that
Fantastic.
One. The Incredibles, which is really more of a Brad Bird pet project that I would rather like.
Was amazing. You better start making your argument movie. Quick.
I know.
Because you're just.
There's Cars, which is crap. There's Ratatouille, which is eh. There's right. Wall-E, which yeah. is arguably. Starts as one movie, ends as a different movie, and I'll say that like it's not terrible.
I'm breaking up with you.
There's Up, which I'm gonna be honest right now. The first 5 minutes of that film are the only ones that matter. That's absolutely true. You don't care about the rest of that film.
I care about.
You cried in the first 5 minutes, and that was it. Toy Story 3, great film. Cars 2, absolute crap. Brave. No one likes Brave. I like Brave, but no one likes that movie.
I don't even understand what that argument means.
Monsters University. No one cares about that film.
All right.
Inside Out. Sadness isn't a character. Good Dinosaur. Terrible film.
I'll agree.
And we have Finding Dory. Great film. But like, listen to this. Like, most of these films are either okay or terrible. And the only good ones, like, half of them are part of one series. They're Toy Story films. Like, and I just feel like you look through all of this, like, in reality, when you really think about it, they haven't knocked as many out of the park as you think they did.
All right. Listening audience, you just heard 5 minutes of slurs coming out of this man's mouth. If you could even call that orifice a mouth anymore.
Heresy.
So, we're going to attempt to shut his mouth. We're gonna be civil about this. I would like to address the fact that a lot of the things you just said were these were bad because they're bad, which is not a good opinion. Nate.
Two things. One, I think you are the only one here who has currently brought up what can truly be called an unpopular opinion because everyone at the table wants to murder you suddenly.
Yep. No.
Two, I thought all of those movies, except for The Good Dinosaur, was good. I didn't really like Cars 2, but I actually really kind of enjoyed Cars 1.
All right, I want to make it a point that we can't just say what we like and what we don't like. We need to, and that might mean that, Al, you have to point things out. So let's do one thing at a time. The one thing you gave the best argument for in that you had facts on it was Up. Please explain how the first 5 minutes of Up are the only ones that matter.
You get in the first 5 minutes of Up, and it tells you a person's life story. It does what Pixar, I think, is really good at, which is telling a short. And it goes on and says, and like we go through the journey of this man's life, and the loss when his wife dies and so on and so forth. And that's very emotionally impactful and people cried. I cried. But then you go through the rest of the film and it's like, yeah, you did some good setup, but like we meander around and we don't really like nothing is as good as that first 5 minutes, and it has to, regardless of your opinion otherwise, has to compete with that first 5 minutes.
I feel like you're mistaking what the story of Up is. The story of Up is not the loss of connection, but the regaining of connection. Up isn't about the first 5 minutes. The first 5 minutes is the setup. It's a beautiful first 5 minutes, but it's like, it doesn't mean anything without the rest of the film at all.
I'll argue I'm not making the argument that it is about the loss. I'm just saying that it doesn't compete well and is done as well as the first 5 minutes of the film.
I would argue that the first 5 minutes, the entire purpose of that is to establish his connection to his past, and the rest of the movie is a vehicle to bring him to the point where he has to let go of his past to move on to his future. That is the entire story of Up.
Again, I'm not making that argument. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, yeah, he is not. Yeah, okay. What about WALL-E? You said it was two different films?
Yeah, I was trying to say, like, if you have that opinion, like, how can you have that opinion about Up and then have a completely different opinion about WALL-E, though, considering they function very similarly, in that the first 5 minutes of both films kind of draw you in to make your heart kind of break a little bit and then mend it up through the movie?
Well, I'll argue that it just lasted longer than 5 minutes. Like, that was the thing I about WALL-E. Like, it really felt like it started as one film and then ended as a different one. I'm not really I'm just saying, is like, the only argument I guess I'm saying it's different than Up is that it just lasted longer.
Are you just placing the impactful value of a movie on how sad parts of it were?
No.
Because the rest of these movies I found really impactful, just in a different way.
And WALL-E has always been a story about conservation, right? So not the love story is kind of a vehicle that moves those two characters through it, but conservation and helping our planet and its people is the whole backdrop for the film. Just because you introduce more characters doesn't change the film.
Well, that's not necessarily the argument I'm making. I'm not saying that any of that, really. What I'm saying is, like, just because it wasn't just the adding of characters, it was almost as though it was a different film entirely. And they were both, those two films were both about conservation. I'm not arguing otherwise, but they were two different films.
But that doesn't inherently make it bad, and I feel like you're arguing that it does.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad film. I'm just saying that's a flaw in that film, and that doesn't make it as great as people say it is.
Yeah, remember, this is exactly why I made the rules beforehand. His point is only that two different films didn't enjoy that. That's it. You don't have to argue that it's wrong to not enjoy that. That's it. You got it.
I'm going to jump in for Al here on the same thing that you guys did for me. Going back to his original point is that Pixar films are overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We put them up on a pedestal like they are the pinnacle of animated filmmaking. But most of them are deeply flawed films that probably tug on your heartstrings because you liked them when you were a little kid. Cars was garbage. Cars 2 was garbage. I haven't heard anybody trying to defend it.
Right.
All the hands go up, obviously.
They're all wearing underneath their shirts.
I don't think you even mentioned Planes.
Planes isn't Pixar.
It wasn't?
And the fact that it has to be explained is always a thing for me, too.
Yeah. Okay. But I also think The Incredibles was terrible.
I just can't even stomach.
Al's argument wasn't that The Incredibles suck, but that it's more of a Brad Bird film than a Pixar film. I think maybe that might be right in retrospective, but I feel like your timeline's off. Brad Bird wasn't really a thing at that point. Yes, it's post-Iron Giant, but Iron Giant's a cult classic. It's become popular post-Incredibles, right? So I feel like a lot of that still has to fall into that Pixar magic. Pete, I don't know why you hate life.
You're a horrible person.
My argument is that Brad Bird was director and screenwriter and story writer for that film, and no one else filled those roles besides him. That would be my argument on it.
I don't see how that's really... I think my biggest problem with Al's arguments in general are that they're scattershot, that there's a lot of them, and a lot of them are based off the I didn't like this. Like, I just want to take one at a time and beat you over the head with it, including Iron Giant. Like, who cares if it's a Brad pet project? He did it with Pixar, and then, that Pixar film is great. However, I do agree that there are many in that list you mentioned that I cannot tolerate. So does it even out to zero? Or at least mediocre or even okay films? I can't quite say, but you're an awful person for what you said about Ratatouille.
I wouldn't.
Thank you.
I wouldn't say it equals out to zero. I just think we're not the correct target audience for these films. I enjoyed many of these films, as did you guys. As adults, they held up. But as adults, Cars not so much. Maybe because
cars are really awesome for five-year-olds who like to sit around Hot Wheels tracks making the cars talk to each other. I mean, I know kids who love cars. I don't particularly like that movie, mm-hmm. but it's not for me.
That doesn't necessarily mean it isn't overrated. Ah, I'm very mixed about this, but I am not mixed about my total and utter dislike of you, Al, as a human being. Speaking of people I don't like, Matt, what awful opinion do you have?
My super terrible, awful opinion, geek opinion, is that as a whole, the Star Wars, the old Star Wars expanded universe, did much more harm to the franchise than anything in the prequels.
Ah, shots fired! And Han fired them first! I thought that was funny. Come on, guys, give me that.
Wow, this is like, I would never have expected this to come from you, of all people.
Yeah, of all people. I did not expect to hear this.
Like, I know I have a reputation for like being the big Star Wars geek, and like I know I love a lot of stuff in the expanded universe, but I will be the first to admit that there is a ton, absolute metric ton of crap that's permeated the Star Wars universe that you people say like the whole entire prequels isn't in the spirit of the films, it's not in the spirit of the series or whatever. No, there's a ton of terrible stuff in the expanded universe, unless you want to say like oh, this is crap on purpose because it's supposed to be based on like old sci-fi and stuff and there's just a throwback to the old stuff. But no, but there's a bunch of crap that's out there. Okay, so I'm just gonna go right into it. Say it right out. Zahn trilogy doesn't hold up today.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you got some cool stuff. You got Mara Jade and you got like the really first good Star Wars novels like during that time. But Thrawn, he's a cool character concept. An idea is like, yeah, this brilliant tactical leader. But his whole entire like abilities and his characteristics, they're really stupid if you really think about it. His whole entire, oh, I study art to be a better commander. That's like something out of like JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. It's like, I use my stand to figure out, like, study somebody's art and then figure out how to, like, beat them in a battle. Like, clearly they use pastel colors, so let's flank from the left. We'll totally beat them then.
Oh, wow.
That's so stupid.
This and, does like, sound
that
pretty
is
bad.
Absolutely. I need to think of another word besides stupid, but like, it's horrible.
You could try. And
while you look up other words than stupid, Pete is chomping at the bit to say something.
I'm going to agree with Matt in that there was a lot of stupid garbage in the EU.
I love how much hate is in this.
I love Skippy the Jedi droid.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
he was great. There were expanded universe stories where Luke had to fight werewolves, but they're spelled with Y's. There were so many Mary Jane like devices.
And Gary Stews. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of the thing that was like a ship the size of the Millennium Falcon, but it had the power of 20 Death Stars.
Oh, are you talking about the Sun Crusher?
The Sun Crusher? Oh,
that's
the mother effing Sun Crusher.
Yeah, the Sun Crusher.
Like, piloted by this, like, edgy, rebellious Jedi teenager, Kip Duran, who somehow gets forgiven after all this and then becomes, like, falls in love with Jaina Solo, and they, like, have this on and off romance with, like, her being, like, the super straight laced, by the book Jedi soldier, and him being the edgelord Jedi master. Oh, but that just leads me to my number one point. Like, I could go on more about like with like the Zahn trilogy about with like clones with evil clones with extra vowels in their name. But the main thing that really ruined Star Wars more than anything in the prequels, the Yuuzhan Vong, the New Jedi Order, was a good cool concept executed horribly, especially with the main villains they introduced, the Yuuzhan Vong. The Yuuzhan Vong are the Roman Reigns of Star Wars alien races. They have them come in. They have, like, all the other evil alien races job out to them off screen. It was like, oh, the Saruk? Yeah, they killed them. The Yvethan? Oh, they're all dead because the Yuuzhan Vong are so freaking badass.
I appreciate your hatred, but can you explain them?
I can't. Is this a language?
These Mvongo are these like aliens from this unknown part of space.
Oh.
They have ships made out of rocks. And they couldn't be like detected by the Force, and they were like these super badass things that like the weapons didn't work until they somehow adjusted everything. I think like lightsabers didn't even work against them until they like made some kind of BS adjustment to them. But the worst thing about it is that this whole entire series just led to one horrible decision after another. Let's take the most popular female character in the universe, Mara Jade. And then just make her a cripple. I can't think of one badass or interesting thing Mara Jade does in the New Jedi Order besides be sick and be occasionally snarky. I mean, Chewbacca, at its very worst, it's on the less end of bad things the New Jedi Order has done. Chewbacca's...
Okay. No.
We can take this entire rant and just like cut every 5 minutes, and it'll be hilarious because it'll just be like a constant and another thing.
I gotta cut you off.
Like if you want to kill a main character, fine. If you kill Chewbacca off, fine. And if you want to kill him, you better goddamn well drop a moon on him because that's the only way you're gonna kill him off.
It's like arguing with a Trump spokesperson.
But even worse,
but you keep on going with it. It's like, yes.
Wait, Matt. I'm not sure if you can hear us because I can't imagine you're this bad. Well, actually, I can't imagine you're this passionate about it. B has one thing to say. B.
Okay. Yeah. As I was saying, I have to agree with Matt on all of that about the stupidness.
Yeah.
But none of it counted.
True.
It was none of that, you know, years and years they wrote this stuff. Okay. But when it comes down to it, when it came down to it, Lucas didn't care about any of it. He ignored it all and wrote the prequels, which became canon. It only counted if Lucas wrote it or agreed with it. So none of that stuff mattered. It didn't do any lasting damage to Star Wars. Obviously, it didn't damage the brand because look at Star Wars now.
I have to agree with Pete. Yes, Matt, you have pointed out some sublime garbage, but I feel like there was more damage done by the prequels because everyone accepted the prequels. And even before Disney eroded out the expanded universe, many people just didn't know it and didn't bother to know it. So that's my opinion.
I would argue that like it didn't do as much damage because like there was you're talking about an oversaturation because anyone was able to write for Star Wars at a point. And I think Strutter's Law kind of comes into play there where like 90% of everything is going to be crap. So for any franchise ever, 90% of it's going to be crap, and you're going to get like the good stuff that matters out of it, and that's the stuff you need to hold on to. Kyle Katarn is what matters, and that's the only thing that I care about in the EU.
I would
throw every moon at Chewbacca I could to keep Kyle Katarn.
I was just going to say, yeah, and then like for its day, it really was glorified fan fiction, and now it's just straight up fan fiction.
Right.
Well, you know, bear with me for a second here. I agree with you. You're not going to like why I agree with you.
Okay, go on.
Point one, Mara Jade was always crap. I'm sorry. Mara Jade is offensive. Sorry, I can't help you.
Was she also a robot dinosaur?
No, she just served no purpose in this story other than as a romantic interest, and she sucks. And I don't like girl characters that don't exist for any other purpose. So she sucks. No,
she had more of a purpose than Boba Fett.
Oh, no. Well, that's true.
I think we got
no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, the second reason is that when I was a child, the prequels came out. I'm actually only 22, so when the first one came out, I was the same age as Anakin, so I actually really liked the prequels. I haven't seen them since then. I'm sure they won't hold up.
Oh, no. They'll be fine. You'll be good.
I will say, though, that as a kid, they're the only reason I watched any of the Star Wars. But what I will also say is that you couldn't do any damage to Star Wars because all of Star Wars is kind of crap. Sorry.
What is happening here?
I don't like it. It's bad.
What is happening?
None of it's good. I'm sorry. It sucks. The movies are not good. They're no fun to watch. The new one was fun, but it just kind of was the old one, but with new characters.
I don't want to be on this planet anymore.
I definitely don't want to be on this podcast anymore. I think we're about ready to wrap this up.
Hold on. I need to respond to this.
Oh, yeah. You do.
Matt's got to have a
no,
word.
Please, no, you're cut off. Please, you're cut tell off. Me.
All right. Go for it.
You all bring up things like, well, it doesn't matter. I could say, like, at this point, the prequels don't matter because they're picking and choosing with the Disney takeover. They're picking and choosing what they like from the prequels. And, like, yes, they have the overall overarching story, but specifics that people don't like, they could either ignore or they could like squeak it around into something else. So I'm gonna say that it's kind of like the same situation. And it's like to say that the EU wasn't considered to be important, like that before we got talk of like the prequels or anything else, that was all we had. That was all Star Wars fans had. Mm-hmm. I mean, Star Wars was still a big name. Like they were like Star Wars toys and whatnot was huge in like the 90s and early 2000s. So the expanded universe, the novels, the games, whatever, that was Star Wars during that time and like before the movies came out. So I think people are underestimating about like how involved or invested Star Wars fans held on to this, and like, but people still hold on to it as this some sacred cow that evil George Lucas,
when in reality it's just a cow.
Yeah,
just a regular cow.
A regular cow.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I guess that counts as an opinion and not just the ramblings of a lunatic. So we're just going to let that go. Oh, yeah. So now it's now our solemn decision as non-productive to decide what is the most unpopular geek opinion of this podcast. And to be honest, I think it's a mixed bag. You can't just have everyone hate you, because if everyone just flat out disagrees with you, maybe you're just an idiot. And we can't have everyone or most people agree with you, because if most people agree with you, then it's really not that unpopular of an opinion. So to do this, we have to use advanced sciences and top men. And those advanced sciences and top government men have decided that the most unpopular geek opinion of this podcast is... bacon is overrated.
Oh, wow.
I would agree with that.
What?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whoa.
I don't need to have baconated everything. That's stupid and gross.
I like sausage.
Frank, who are these people?
But what will your ice cream taste like?
I've seen bacon soap, man. It's
what will
much.
Your coffee taste like?
Men. No, that is an awful timing for top men to come out.
Wait, you wait, you're
mostly the ACLU.
What do you want ice cream taste like? Men? All right, that's,
I don't know.
I was answering Pete. Pete asked me which men. Yeah, bacon is garbage. It is a breakfast food. Stop putting it in my donuts.
Who hurt all of us as children?
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.